I invite you to turn to page 858 in the back of our Trinity Psalter hymnals as we continue working our way through the Belgic Confession. This evening we're looking at Article 11 and how the Holy Spirit is God, the deity of the Holy Spirit. Page 858, Article 11, I'll read this article for us. We believe and confess also that the Holy Spirit proceeds eternally from the Father and the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but only proceeding from the two of them. In regard to order, he is the third person of the Trinity, of one and the same essence and majesty and glory with the Father and the Son. He is true and eternal God, as the Holy Scriptures teach us. Now I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139 will be our passage this evening as we look at it in light of Article 11 of the Belgic Confession. Psalm 139. Before we turn our attention to God's Word, however, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up Your Word together, it's our prayer that You will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know You better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which You have called us, the riches of Your glorious inheritance in the saints, and Your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of Your mighty strength, which You exerted in Christ when You raised Him from the dead and seated Him at Your right hand in the heavenly realms. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 139, let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, You have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from Your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me, and Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to You. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with You. For You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In Your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are Your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with You. Oh, that You would slay the wicked, O God. Oh, men of blood, depart from me. They speak against You with malicious intent. Your enemies take Your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate You, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against You? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. People of God, there are things that take place in our life each and every day that we don't take time to think about. Those normal, everyday, ordinary things that take place in order to make our lives function. Now, what do I mean by that? What are some of the things that we just take for granted and that we don't even give a second thought to? Well, one example would be our furnaces. If our furnaces are working, most of the time, we don't even give it a second thought of how they are specifically providing heat for our homes. The gas and the fuel and the burning, the forced air or water being pumped or pushed throughout our home, if they continue to do their job, we can go days, weeks, even all winter without really giving it a second thought. Or we jump into our car in order to drive to church, and most of us don't even think about how the frame is attached to the tire, or how the brakes work, or how the power and steering is attached, or that there is exploding gasoline literally just a few feet from our faces. We don't give that a second thought. It's normal, it's ordinary, it's every day. We take it for granted, jump in, and go for a drive. Same thing is true when it comes to our bodies and our health. We don't give it a second thought. We don't think about everything that's going on inside until something doesn't work. We go on day to day with everything functioning like it should. Nervous system, digestive system, and every other system without us having to pay attention to it or even think about it. Our white blood cells are attacking diseases or foreign viruses. Our heart is beating even though we don't think about it. And the same is true with our breathing. Normal, everyday, ordinary things that are happening behind the scenes without us giving it a second thought. And the reason I take the time to point out some of these ordinary things that we don't even think about, the things that operate behind the scenes, so to speak, is because that's exactly how the Holy Spirit is at work within our lives. Behind the scenes, doing His work. We rarely think about the work that the Holy Spirit is constantly doing. We take it for granted. It's ordinary, it's every day, and it often goes unnoticed. The work of the Father, God the Father, is as creator, and the work of Jesus Christ is redeemer. That gets our attention, especially as we look forward to Christmas, Christ as redeemer, Advent, Christ being born. That's what gets center focus, and behind the scenes, doing the work that He's always been doing and always will be doing, is God the Holy Spirit. Some theologians have described the Holy Spirit as the unknown member of the Trinity. J.I. Packer even described the Holy Spirit as the shy member of the Trinity. In many ways, that's a good description of the work that the Spirit does. Describing the work of the Spirit, which John 16 verse 14 says, is to not speak on His own, but rather bring glory to Christ. So the Spirit's job is to bring glory to Christ. And so the fact that we really don't notice the work of the Holy Spirit and really give glory to Christ means that He's doing His job to direct all of the attention and glory to Jesus Christ. So us seeing Him as the shy member of the Trinity means that He's actually doing His job in bringing Christ the glory. But even though He is the shy member of the Trinity, we still know about the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us about who He is and what He does. And that's what we'll be studying tonight as we look at how the Holy Spirit is God, as we look at Psalm 139. We'll be looking at how the Holy Spirit is all-knowing, first of all. Secondly, all-present. Third, all-powerful. And fourth, all-holy. We have 4 points this evening. You guys got away with 2 this morning, so we're just making up 1 tonight. And so first, all-knowing. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. Here in Psalm 139, as you know, we have a beautiful combination of praise to God throughout this psalm. Praising God, praising Him for who He is and what He does. Last week, we mentioned how doctrine, the truths about who God is, lead us to doxology, praising God for who He is and what He does. Where here in Psalm 139, we have praising God for who He is and what He does. So within that doxology, within that praise, we actually also can learn about who God is and what He does. And in these first few verses, David is praising God for His omniscience, for God knowing everything. Now, boys and girls, does God know all things? The answer is yes. Nothing can be hidden from God. He knows everything. David is saying here, you know me, you have searched me, you know me, you know when I sit down, when I rise up, you discern my thoughts, you search out my path, my lying down, you're acquainted with all of my ways. And it's not just driving home the point that God knows everything in general, but it's also very personal, because David is saying, you have searched me, you know me, when I sit, when I rise, you know my thoughts, my going out, my lying down, all of my ways. So here David and all of us are praising God for being all-knowing. This is one of the attributes or characteristics of God, His omniscience. In the Belgic, we confess that the Holy Spirit is true and eternal God, just as the Holy Scripture teaches us. Of one and the same essence and majesty and glory with the Father and the Son. Scripture is teaching us that the Holy Spirit is true and eternal God. So how then is the Holy Spirit described as being all-knowing or omniscient? Well, in John 14, verse 26, when Jesus is telling His disciples about Him sending the Holy Spirit, here's what He says. But the Counselor, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, not only is that a Trinitarian moment, another one of those Trinitarian moments, because it's the Father sending the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, but it also describes the knowledge or the knowing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows everything that Jesus had said, and the Spirit is going to teach everything that Jesus has said to His disciples, to His followers. And so there the knowledge of Jesus is on equal ground with the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and that points to what the Belgic calls of one and the same essence. For another example, you can look to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, knows the thoughts of God because the Holy Spirit is God. Isaiah 11 verse 2, when the prophet speaks about the coming Messiah as the root of Jesse, a nice prophecy for Advent season, he states that the Spirit of the Lord will rest on Him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is described as the Spirit of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. The Spirit of knowledge. But probably the clearest example when it comes to talking about how the Holy Spirit is all-knowing and how the Holy Spirit is God is found in Acts 5. Acts 5 verses 3 through 11. There you have that story of Ananias and Sapphira. Luke clearly explains that the Holy Spirit is God. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? So take note of that. Paul is telling Ananias, you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land. Did it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. So there you have Paul stating two things as synonymous. You have lied to the Holy Spirit, you have lied to God. Peter. According to Peter, to lie to the Holy Spirit is to lie to God. And so based on these passages, what we see is Scripture teaching us that the Holy Spirit is God. And it's not only the Holy Spirit's all-knowingness or His omniscience, there's also that very personal side, which David is pointing out in our psalm, that the Holy Spirit, who is God, knows me, knows you, searches me, is familiar with all of my ways. It's not only God as the distant, all-knowing creator of the universe, but here we also have the personal side of God. He knows us intimately, the details of our life, and it is this God who not only is all-knowing, but it is also this God who is all-present and present with you, present with us as well. That's our second point this evening, all present. When you're looking at verses 7 through 12, that's what we have emphasized in Psalm 139. The psalmist is basically saying that the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Can't get away from the Holy Spirit. From this it's clear that the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, is omnipresent, which is another characteristic of God being used to describe the Holy Spirit. God is omnipresent, or He is all-present. He is everywhere. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is God. If I go up to the heavens, no matter how high I go, you are there. If I go down into Sheol, go down into the depths, no matter how deep I go, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the morning, where does the sun rise? The sun rises in the morning in the east. So if I go as far east as possible, you are there. If I go to the far side of the sea, think of Palestine, land of Israel. What direction is the Mediterranean Sea? It's to the west. If I go as far west as possible, you are there. Whether it's night or day, it doesn't make a difference. Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. You are everywhere. You are all present. And in light of that, we can think of John 16 when Jesus is telling us that He has to go. He has to leave so that He can send the Counselor, so that He can send the Holy Spirit. And He describes that as being better. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Now why is that better? Why is it better that Jesus leaves and that He sends the Holy Spirit? Jesus is saying that it's better that He leaves, that He ascends into heaven so that He can send the Holy Spirit. So often we think that, wow, wouldn't it have been great if I could have been walking with Jesus or alive at the time of Jesus, maybe walking along the shore of Galilee with Jesus Christ. You know, I could be there and I could write down everything that He said. But according to Jesus, according to Jesus Christ, it is better to live now with the constant presence of the Holy Spirit than to have lived during the time of Jesus' ministry. Surely I am with you always, He says, to the very end of the age. And the way that Christ is with us is through the presence of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we celebrated this morning with communion. The form said it well. I won't take the time to look it up, but we had the actual presence of Jesus Christ as we celebrated the Lord's Supper together. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit, who is all present. So why is it so good that Christ left and then sent us the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit doing? The Holy Spirit is making effective, applying the work of Jesus Christ. Now how do we see the Father and the Son and their work being made effective by the Holy Spirit, the behind-the-scenes worker, so to speak? Well, as soon as the Spirit is poured out on Pentecost, the day that the Spirit is poured out, over 3,000 were added. And just to put that in perspective, that's more converts than Jesus had in his entire earthly ministry. There you see the power of the Holy Spirit at work. There you see why Christ said, you know what, it's better that I leave and I send the Holy Spirit. Because he is going to make effective, he is going to apply the work that I have accomplished. And that's what brings us to the third point, how the Holy Spirit is all powerful. All powerful. The scriptures teach us that the Spirit is all powerful. Isaiah 11 verse 2, when the prophet speaks of the coming Messiah, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, not only the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the all-knowingness, but also the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So in that way, the Holy Spirit is described as possessing the power which belongs to God alone. The Holy Spirit is part of creation, the creator of all things. Psalm 33 verse 6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, the starry host by the breath, the ruach, the spirit of his mouth. So there you have the God the Father creator speaking, let it be, and the Holy Spirit accompanying that word, making it effective. Psalm 104, when you send your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. The work, the job of the Holy Spirit is to make the Word of God effective, to accompany the Word of God. The Word goes out, and it doesn't return empty because of the Holy Spirit. Go all the way back with me to Genesis 1. The earth was formless and empty. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And what we know about the Holy Spirit of God is that He makes the Word of God effective. What happens? God speaks His Word and the Spirit makes God's Word effective. The Father says, let there be. And it was the Spirit who made that effective. Not only back then, like we pointed out this morning, but also to this very day, the Spirit of God making effective, bringing about the Word of God. In a general way, the Spirit of God is active in bringing about all life. Let there be life, including plants, including animals, including all life, still bringing about that original word of let the land produce vegetation and living creatures. Let there be lights. Let there be water and sky teeming with living creatures. And it is the Spirit of God who is still bringing that out, still making that original word effective even to this very day. We talked about it this morning. It's not just God putting that mountain into place and then, okay, my job is done, hands off. No, but He's still upholding it and maintaining His creation. How? By the power of His Spirit. In Him you live and move and have your being. The Spirit of God is the one who makes God's original word effective, be fruitful, and multiply. And it's ordinary. It's every day. You plant a seed, it grows. Let the land produce, and the Spirit is making that word effective. Be fruitful and multiply. We have babies, we're blessed with grandchildren, being knit together in the mother's womb. Normal, every day. Take it for granted, that's just the way it is. And we overlook the behind-the-scenes work that God the Spirit is accomplishing and doing. The Holy Spirit making the Word of God effective in creation, but also in us. The Holy Spirit, all-powerful God, is the one who gives, sustains, guides life in general. general revelation style, you could say. But in an even more specific way, he is at work in us, making us into a new creation. Here we're talking about the special revelation, our salvation, as he is applying God's word to us. And that brings us to our fourth point this evening, all holy. All holy. The end of this psalm, at first, comes across as a little dark. Lord, slay the wicked. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up again? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. You look at verse 9. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Now here's what's going on. We have just talked about the all-knowingness of God. The all-presence of God. The all-powerfulness of God. All of these attributes describing God. David is praising God for who he is and what he does. And the very idea of evil men who hate God is completely unacceptable, completely unfathomable. And the language is strong because we are talking about sinning against a holy God, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, all holy God. It's not in spite of hatred for these, or hatred for these individuals, but rather it's a passion and a zeal for God, a righteous anger that's being described here in these final verses. But then that's followed with David calling God to search his own heart. And what we ultimately have at the end of this psalm, the end of Psalm 139, is a striving for holiness. A longing for righteousness. A prayer for sanctification. A prayer to be made holy. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Now the only way we can pray that prayer at the Psalm of 139 is when Christ's righteousness is ours, isn't it? The only way God can search our heart and not find anything grievous in us is when we are covered by the perfect righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit who is applying that righteousness earned for us by Christ. What's the Spirit's main job? The Spirit's main job is to make effective God's Word. And when we looked at Article 9, when we talked about the work of each member of the Trinity, we talked about the Father as our Creator, the Son as our Savior and Redeemer, and the Spirit as our Sanctifier. The Spirit as the one who makes us holy, as God is holy. He is the one making effective, bringing about all of the blessings of salvation accomplished by Christ. All of those blessings are applied and made effective by the Holy Spirit. And these are the normal, everyday things that the Spirit is doing that we don't even think about and we often just take for granted. What do I mean? Effectual calling. The Holy Spirit is the one working in you to make that call effective. God calling you. Regeneration. The Holy Spirit is renewing our hearts destroyed by sin, turning us from sin to our Savior. Adoption. Holy Spirit is making us into the image of God. Galatians 4, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Sanctification, the Holy Spirit is taking you, as sinful and as corrupt as you are, and He's making you holy. Now this is amazing in and of itself, but we call it the ordinary work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work that the Holy Spirit is doing each and every day, even though it's completely amazing and extraordinary. Preservation. We belong to God and we can say Jesus is Lord only by the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us. Resurrection. bringing the dead back to life by the power of the Holy Spirit and glorification, the work of the Holy Spirit. Now he does all of this through something as normal and ordinary and as mundane as the word being preached and as the sacraments being celebrated, the means of grace. It's normal. It's ordinary. We're used to it. It's something we take for granted, but it's something that is still no less the awesome power of God, the Holy Spirit, at work in each of our lives. The Holy Spirit is God, all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful, and all-holy. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for not only sending your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to live and die for our salvation, but for also sending us your Holy Spirit, the Comforter, your presence living inside each and every one of us, working on us, sanctifying us, making us holy even as you are holy. And Lord, forgive us for taking that for granted, the normal, everyday working of your Holy Spirit within us. And it's our prayer that you will continue this work. Continue this work until Christ return, until we are glorified, until we are recreated in your image. Lord, hear our prayer, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.